Record. Okay.
I want to start from Parakhav Beis again, and I want to tell you how it's so easy, it's such a Yetzer Hara to read something quickly and think you understand it because you fall into a mold of what everybody always says. So you say, okay, that's what he's saying, blah, blah, blah. with Nefesh HaChaim here saying something so important and so deep that... At Shabbos, I mentioned that Reb Zeira, when he came to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, so he did 100 Tanaisim that he should forget the Torah of Bavel. Like, why do you want to forget? Well, you know. What's wrong with Torah of Bavel? So I think the shot is that if he didn't forget the Torah of Bavel when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, everything he hears, yeah, we talked about that, I know that, he right away falls into an old mode. And assumes that he's understanding what Rabbi Yochanan, the Gadol Hador, is saying. So you have to just like clear his mind to be able to hear things that he's heard about for so many years. Kasha atiki mechadetha, the Gemara says. It's very difficult to learn things that you know things about because you right away the mind puts it into a certain category, into a certain mold, and that's where we're stuck. And yeah, that's where he speaks about it. So with that great introduction, I just want to understand this a little bit different. Parakha Beis. We started learning it. Let's learn it again. Umishaba Moshe v'harida la'aretz loy b'shamayim di. An astonishing sentence. That when Moshe Rabbeinu came and gave us the Torah on Har Sinai, from that moment on, loy b'shamayim hi. Here is the chiddush. I'm going to say it to you in one sentence. Until Moshe Rabbeinu came and gave us the Torah was b'shamayim hi. That nobody says. The Torah was b'shamayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu yistakel b'araisu b'ra'alma, where was he? In Hawaii? B'shamayim. This was all b'shamayim. When Yaakov Avinu looked in the Torah and he married two sisters, the Torah was b'shamayim. The Torah was there, but the Torah was b'shamayim. It was like looking at the blueprints of a building before the building is built. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. Let's make a shinui here. Let's make a shinui there. Let's make a little adjustment here, a little adjustment there. That I had a little bit of mussar from the architect who did this building. Said that now that the building is built, and it was built to plan, right? I mean, whatever was built to plan. So so came time to ordering the stonework from the outside. He said, you have to measure again. Well, I have to measure again. It was all built to plan because it's tachlis. It's different when it's b'hai alma. It's different. There's a lot of things make it different. The people make it different. The mitzvahs and averis make it different. But the big moment in Jewish history, one of the most important moments, if not the most important in Jewish history, was when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah from Shamayim to Eretz. It was there. It was there by Shamayim. Umishaba Moshe v'hirida la'aretz, and from this moment on started a new halacha of loy b'shamayim hi. This is a quantum leap of the Torah. Meaning the Torah was one thing, and now he brought it to another thing. You understand the significance of this? That it means that loy b'shamayim hi means that we no longer access from this moment on of Matan Torah. You see, we think Matan Torah, okay, Hashem gave us Torah, Todah. Wonderful Shavuos, wonderful holiday. No, from this moment on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the tools. The Torah became completely qualitatively different, that he gave us the tools now to understand in a different way, the Chachmas Basar V'Dam. It's no longer understanding it Baruch HaKadosh, it's understanding it with Roiv V'Karev Halacha K'Roiv, with Chazaka V'Roiv. So you do with Baba Basra, with Baba Kama, with Zvachim. That's the way we're understanding the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu went to Har Sinai to get the Torah, and everybody knows the Gemara Menachos, that there was a tug of war between the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma'ali Yeludisha Beinenu, what's a human doing here with the Torah? What's he going to take the Torah to the Aretz? What do they know with Torah? What are they going to do with Torah? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hachzilam Tshuva. Meaning, what the Malachim had a certain, you know, it's hard to break an old habit. So the Malachim had a certain understanding of Torah. Torah is the way the world works. Torah is the way the world was created. Torah is Bashomayim. That's where Torah was. Torah is Bashomayim. Why are you creating, you're taking it away from us, and you're saying, Loi Bashomayim hi, that the Torah is now Basar V'dam. This was the quantum leap of Har Sinai. It wasn't that we just got what was there, it was everything changed now. Now the Torah was given to Basar V'dam. Why? Why would Hashem do that? Because the tachlis of the whole thing was Basar V'dam anyway. The only reason he created the world and the Torah is for Basar V'dam. So obviously, so he gave us the Torah to Basar V'dam, and with it, he gave us the tools to be able to understand the Torah, paskin in the Torah. Ad kedei kach, where the Gemara tells us stories that the Tanur shel Achanoi, where they had giluyim from Shemayim as to what the halacha should be, if the Tanur is kosher, the Tanur is not, tamei tahor. Loi b'shamayim, we're not interested in that. You're taking something from a different makom and you're applying it to here. Loi b'shamayim, we all hate when somebody brings something from a different makom and applies it to here. It drives you crazy, right? It drives me crazy anyway. Like, this is what we did in Atlanta. Who cares? Like, this is, we're in a new place now, right? Loi b'shamayim, the Torah is now in a new place, and with it came the kochos, and now somebody's going to come along and say, but I have access to the Alter Torah. I have access to the Torah before it came to ours. It makes no difference to us. It makes no difference. But how could it be wrong? How could it be wrong? So it's a different Torah. So now, when Yaakov Avinu, let's say, married two sisters, Pirush Hadavar, how was he allowed to do this? So I mentioned last week, everybody asks these kashas, one kasha after the other kasha. How did Yitzchak eat from the Shechita of Esav, and all these kind of different kashas? It's really no kasha because they were dealing on blueprint level. The Torah was Bashamayim, they were entitled. Let me say it in a radical way, that the Avos were still part of the design team. It's pretty radical. Okay, you know, I'm understanding what's going on. I understand what you want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understand the Ratzon HaBorei, and you're saying not to marry two sisters. They knew it, but understand that in this particular place, it was okay. So that they were Ki'ilu, they were the Har Sinai of the time. In other words, it was Masr Liyadam to be able to make these kind of changes. But Achshav Shenitna Lanu HaTorah, the Torah went through this paradigm shift. It took this quantum leap into the world as we know it. And from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu did this, Loi b'shamayim hi, we have a new halacha of it's no longer in the world of Bria, it's no longer in the world of Yetzirah, it's no longer in the world of Atzilus. See, I'll say one more radical thing before I read inside. Lekum b'Yisrael k'moshe oid. There never was, never will be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Does that mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was bigger than Avraham Avinu? Ani shoel. Does that mean he was bigger than Adam Arishon Koidem Achet?
Different.
So first of all, different. First of all, like, come be Yisrael. First of all, you got to be Jewish. There were no Jews before Avraham Avinu. Second of all, what it really means for us is that it could be that Avraham Avinu and Yitzhak and Yaakov were bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu, but they were dealing with a different religion almost. They were dealing with something else. It was a different phase.
What do you mean by bigger?
Exactly. There's no mashmois to the word bigger. Is Rabbi Kiva Eger bigger than Rabbi Moshe Feinstein?
Shaykh
to the time that he's living. That's the. I once was zelcha to give, or just giving a mashal. I was zelcha to give a little bit of nechama. You know, Pesach. We went to the to Haifa. So Rabbi Tversky, that's Rabbi Tversky's brother, was there. So he was sitting with his grandchildren, and his great grandchildren that came to him in Pesach. So I said, it's a beautiful lachas, you know, great-grandchildren, you know, a bunch of beautiful Jews, all of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you know, we see a little bit here. But, you know, so he said, yeah, but I said to them that my great-grandfather was the Horna Stipler Rebbe. Your great-grandfather, Shia Twersky. So he was feeling like, I'm a great-grandfather, like, this is a great... So I said to him, look, they're not doing too bad. So he said, yeah, the hardest type of Rebbe. So Zachisi Lenachem Adam Gadol. I said to him, you know what? I'm not sure I agree. The Horna Stipler was the exact right person for his generation, and you're the exact right person for this generation. And MS, by the way. It's MS. I doubt if the Horna Stipler Rebbe would be able to deal with the problems that Dr. Twersky is dealing with. You know, I doubt it. But maybe that's where it comes from, but it's a different thing. And Yaakov Avinu would not be able to deal with the issues that Moshe Rabbeinu was. When we say, like, come be Israel, come Moshe, he was the right one. From that point on, things changed. And now somebody's going to come and say, I'm a Navi, I'm a bigger Navi than Moshe. No. Moshe Rabbeinu he brought the Torah. This is the Torah. What is the person going to do? What did Lahabdil Elof Habdavle, Shabsai Tzvi, you know, what was his movement? His movement was that I know Kabbalah, I'm an Abulafian, I understand things very, very well, and I'm telling you that this piece of Torah should be put on the side right now. It's not worthwhile. And he did things, and people followed it because it really sounded good. I would even say maybe it was good. Maybe it was good, but it was wrong. In other words, he got into the blueprints. When you look at the Rav Tzadok, it's mashma that he says that it was a very high madrega. Shabtai Tzvi, he puts them together with Yeshu Hanoitzri, puts them both together. He says Yibach Shabab. I'm sorry, Shem Rishoyim Yerkav, Shin Reish Yud. It took me a long time to figure out the Rosh Tevis, Shem Rishoyim Yerkav. But there were Rishai. What was the Rishis? The Rishis was that's not, you're not Yaakov Avinu. You can't go ahead and marry two sisters now. But it's not the blah, blah, blahs. You can't change the Torah and you have to stick to it and you have to go to the pro. No, the Torah took on a different, it's in a different phase now. And since it's in a different orbit, a different quantum, in fact, you know, it's a different place, so since it's a different place, it's totally unapplicable. Whatever you think should be or shouldn't be, you see, I would even say that the movements in Judaism, the conservative movement, these, like, they're to give them probably more credit than they deserve, but they're probably thinking like Koidim Matan Torah. In other words, we could take this into our hands and we can do whatever we need to do with this. This is what we need to do. It's sealed. It's built already. It's done. And it's made, tailor-made for this world. And there are bechinas and halachas and klalim as to how we can work the Torah. That's what's really going on here.
Yeah, given this is so can you talk a little bit about the Avos being the Merkava and Moshe Rabbeinu having to put his hand on the Merkava?
Kisei HaKavod. But Avos Hein HaMerkava is exactly what we're saying, that they were part of the design team. Hein HaMerkava, in other words, the Shekhinah was falling on them when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing. Here's what happened. Here's the story that the Arizal starts his Sefer with. The Eitz Chaim, this is what he starts with, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world and went through many, many Gilgulim and until it came to the Gilgul of coming into this world. And the Avos were there to catch the ball. The Avos were there to catch the ball, so, I was speaking last night, I should have said a little bit about the we lost a little bit of the old generation, we're in a different sophisticated time. But so much of what they said and what they were Marsha Nefesh for, on the one hand, it was beautiful. I mean, what's the Shaila like? The Erlichkeit of our grandparents was like something that's L'chaira. I mean, just this straight, clear, you know, the clear, you know, the Tilim Zuggers and the water carriers and the Marsha Nefesh for Halacha. I used to be a rabbi of Holocaust survivors. You know, almost the whole shul was Holocaust survivors and new Balei Tshuva. That was the two who did not meld very well together. That just what nobody could understand anybody. But you know, but they never. These people were old. They were sick. They had been through Auschwitz and Treblinka. I never heard one person ever ask me a question. You know, do I have to fast on Yom Kippur? I'm feeling taking this medication. I'm taking. There's no such Shiloh. I mean, if I would tell somebody that they don't have to fast, they don't have to fast, they shouldn't fast, you're not allowed to fast, they wouldn't listen to me. They simply wouldn't listen to me. But I'd tell them, like, you know, like a Yom Kippur. I tell you before. I'm not criticizing anybody, but I'm saying before every single time, this including Yom Kippur, like phone call after phone call. Do I have to fast? This I don't like fasting. This it doesn't agree with me. I get sick. I get a headache. I go, you know, Yom Kippur. Like so, something was lost. On the one hand, on the other hand, I doubt that as a child, even though I kept kosher all my life, I doubt if I kept kosher. Like, because what was kosher? Kosher means you look at the candy bar. If it didn't have gelatin in it, you ate it. That's as simple. It was simple as that. There was no, you know, did it have had to have like you're looking for two things: lard and gelatin. That was the two things. After that's kosher. Okay, Ad Shabbat, the OU and the OK and the very sophisticated. Now, what do you mean? Do you know what kind of vessel, what kind of machine they use to make that citric acid? Huh? All of a sudden, kosher took out a whole new sophistication on the one hand. On the other hand, like, so something's, like on the one hand, like, you're running more sophisticated, and it, you know, I don't want to hear that, you know, well, we ate that when we were kids, it was okay to eat, you know, all donuts, you know, because it was made by Italians and not by, like, you know, like, I don't want to hear that stuff anymore. Kosher is in a different place. On the other hand, I do want to hear that, what do you mean eat on Yom Kippur? So, like, there's a double thing. So here we have Breishis Shvais. You get it, what I'm saying? You have Breishis Shvais. Breishis is Halavai. Masai Agia Baisa, Lubaisa Avaisa. What can we come to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov? The kind of Erlichkeit, the kind of Dibuk Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu. Where do we get to that? On the other hand, Torah was given. Moshe Rabbeinu changed everything. And now that the Torah was given, we don't, you know, sort of want to hear any more about Yaakov marrying two sisters and Amram marrying his aunt Yocheved. And I don't want to hear about it anymore because that was before the Torah was Ba'aretz, the world of Asiya as we know it. So this is the Yesod HaYesodis of understanding the Torah. It's understanding that it went through it's in a different orbit now than it was in the whole time. And that answers all the kashas. No svarim need to be written about how Yaakov did this aver and Avram did that aver. It does nothing. You don't need it. Get rid of it all. Because they weren't Jewish. They weren't Jewish. It's as simple as that. What happens now today if somebody feels that he can understand the same thing as Yaakov Avinu? And this is what the Nefesh HaChaim is talking about. I can understand what he can understand. So let's read inside. Mishabah Moshe v'harid alaretz loy ba'shamayim hi nekuda. Uluval Yitzchak em adam ha'gadol shasagasem merubah. Now comes the gadol who understands so much. He's a big makubal hasagasem merubah. Loy mar, and he says, Anoichi harayas soid v'tami ha'mitzvus b'koichos v'ilomis hal yainim. I see the truth. I can see what it's really all about. Shiroi lilafi sharish nishmasa. I also know my sharish neshama. And I know that for me, this mitzvah is not the right mitzvah, or this avera is okay. So the gadol, he's talking about Adam gadol, tzaddik. Or I could start directing people according to their shurish ha-neshama. Beautiful. Laver chas v'sham aleisim mitzvah. And I'm telling them, this mitzvah, listen, your neshama is not right for this mitzvah. And it all makes so much sense because this guy really knows. He really knows my sherish neshama. We're not talking about a fraud. We're not talking about a charlatan. He really knows. Somehow he really knows the sherish. He's able to take an x-ray of my neshama. And he says to me, I'm telling you, for you, you should eat basar b'chalav. Or you should not daven in time because you need to do some other kind of a tikkun. So what do we do with that guy? Like, you know, we don't know where to put him because he's a tzaddik and we ought to go to him for a bracha and it's a beautiful thing, but he's going connected the halacha. He says, let's do it a little bit different. Even change the zman of the mitzvah. It's okay to daven late. So what do we do with this guy? So the answer is, that you're living in the wrong world, you know, tzaddik. You're living in a world of Kodem Matan Torah. You're not living in a world of Acher Matan Torah. It's not that you're a bad guy, but you're not Yaakov Avinu. You're living in the wrong Zman. No, I keep on repeating that the Rashi says, if Noach would be in the door of Avram, lo nechshav l'klum. Why? Because he doesn't belong in the door of Avram. Noach belonged in his generation. Avram belonged in his generation. And he would have been nothing. He would have been nothing. And if we would live in the door of Avram, he wouldn't have been nothing. And possibly if Avram Avinu would be walking around today, it wouldn't be the right thing. He would have to keep Torah like the rest of us. He would have to, Yaakov Avinu, if he were living today, would not be permitted to marry two sisters with all his kedusha, with all his tzaddik. You agree with me? Even Yaakov Avinu, he was not bound by it because the Torah didn't take that quantum leap into this world. He was still okay. He was still on the design side of it. That's what it means. There's no Navi like Moshe. Not that bigger, smaller, as you say, darn. It doesn't mean bigger. Like, come Navi Kemoshe. Moshe was a certain kind of a Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu's job was to bring the Torah from Shemayim to Aretz. That was his job, period. Was somebody else bigger than him? Maybe. But that would, they didn't have this particular job in history, to bring the Torah from Shemayim to Aretz. This is such a limud, by the way, in all of the quantum leaps of history. That it's things are different now. We're not living in the same time as we were even before the Holocaust. This whole idea of going back, it's not necessarily the right thing. There's a lot to learn. I want to be mevatel this obsession with going back to Eastern Europe. Lama, we live here in Eretz Yisrael. This obsession, obsessed with history, obsessed with the past. Learn from them. Isn't your hate? You want to go there, learn, become a scholar. But it's not one of the heterim to go to Chutz Lartz. Like, what are you walking around in Krakow? Like, it's Krakow is no more. Finish. Let's go further. We have Eretz Yisrael now. Let's go. In other words, it's okay. It's an interesting tourist attraction, but it's not where Yiddishkeit is any longer. Even the Kvarim, basically. Like, come Navi Kamosha, Kamosha Lamdu Chazal, Eile HaMitzvois, She'ein Navi Rashai, L'chadesh Davar Me'ata. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Dalad, there's no more Chidushim. V'Kamosha Samcha Torah, and the Torah says, Es Kol HaDavar Asher Anoichi Mitzavah, Lo Soysif Alav, Lo Sigra Mimenu. Now, you can't be Moisif, you can't be Sigra. Gam Ki Yigalku Mekir B'cha Navi. Aye, the Navi is getting up and he's saying that this is what you need to do, Rabbi Yisai, Roitz El HaHoysif, Let's just learn the pasuk now that we understand it a little bit better. It's the end of the Tzavim, yeah? Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu says, the end of his life. Just learn it inside, so now we understand it. Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zois, the mitzvah asher anoichi mitzavecha hayoyim. I gave you a Torah. Now, the Torah has been around forever, but I gave it to you. Lo niflesi mimcha, now that I gave it to you, it's not out of your reach. Like, ki yipolei mimcha davar. Yipolei means it's not out there. Lo niflesi mimcha, lo rechoikehi, it's not far from you. What are we going to do? I'm not, no. Loi ba shamayim hi. It's not in the shamayim. Leimar miyale lanu ha-shamayma yikachel lanu. Nobody has to say who's alive today that could go back to the shamayim and take the Torah. V'yashmienu ha-sav v'nasanu. You don't have to do that anymore, Moshe Rabbeinu says. Look at Rashi, Gevaldik Rashi. Loi ba shamayim hi. She'ilu ha-sa ba shamayim ha-yisa tzarech la'alois ha-chareh l'lamda. Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving his speech, and he's saying, the Torah that I'm giving you, loy b'shamayim hi. Says Rashi, because if it would be b'shamayim, you'd have to go get it. Like, what kind of a hypothetical question point is that? It would be b'shamayim, it's not b'shamayim, so what's the... So Rashi, I believe, is answering the kasha, but Yaakov Avinu? Herod says Yaakov Avinu went up that ladder, and he accessed the Torah. Leiba Shemayim, if it would be in Shemayim, like it was, Kodem Matan Torah. So then you, if you lived in that era, you would have to climb and you'd have to get it. That's what Rashi's saying. That's like loy b'shamayim he, because otherwise, it's not, this is not poetry, this is real. Loy b'shamayim, if it would be b'shamayim, you'd have to get it, but it's not b'shamayim. You'd have to get it like Avram got it, like Yitzchak got it, Yaakov got it. You'd have to daven a lot and reach your Ruach HaKodesh and be able to get it and then bring it down to the people around you, and you'd be able to make all kinds of tikkunim. You'd be able to marry your aunt, maybe. For once the Torah was given, they were all crying because, whoa, okay, laws have all changed now, meaning in Mitzrayim, they were all married to their sisters. Common.
So, just to sharpen the pencil, so Rebbe HaKadosh is not Mechadesh, he's helping us to bring down in more granularity and more, more accessibility that Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu brought down. It's a different type of
I would say it even deeper, that the redaction of Torah Shebal Peh, which is probably the correct thing that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did, was to take Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah and entrench it in the earth even more. Put it in Ksav, maybe even more Gashmis out of it, without changing a drop of it, because he saw that there was a tendency to go back over to the original specs. So would so like how what a chiddush to Yisrael this is, that in other words, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah and he created the world, but not our Torah necessarily. Not our Torah. That was the Torah that the Malachim were playing a tug of war with Moshe Rabbeinu. That was a Torah was in blueprint form, and now we have a Torah which is in Lamaisa form. Can't budge. It's cement. It's solid. There's nothing, you know. There's nothing you can do. Hayrash Shah. Sometimes the only case is Hayrash Shah, where sometimes a Navi is allowed to say, okay, but right now we must knock down a cement wall because otherwise we're going to be in trouble. Sometimes a Navi is allowed to do a very, very strict halachas as to when, but for normally there's no such provision because it's built already. It's done. The Torah is there. It's already in the world of Asi. It's perfect for us. And so the Chachma is not even a Chachma. The chachma of saying, I know your Shurish Neshama, it doesn't really make any difference anymore. It's not important anymore.
What's a Hayrash Shah now?
What would be a case of Hayrash Shah?
What is the getter of a Hayrash Shah? It's not going up the Shemai.
The getter is that just like Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos. You see, you need to wonder like this. I don't know why Sundays I'm always in a political mood. Does everybody want this heater on, or is it just me to talk because I'm talking a lot? Yeah. Can you offer a few? Thank you. Now I'll calm down. but take an example. It's a sociological example. Because it's so right to home. If you look in the Chumash and the Nevi'im and the Gemara and the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Acharonim, it's a davar bar, davar pashut. You can't budge from it. That other than Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who was on a special madrega, unfortunately everybody has to work to make a living. Since the Chet of Adam Arishon, that's the way the world goes. The Torah talks all about agriculture and farming and all kinds of things. It's not talking about the low class. It's talking about the Am Haaretz were the people. The Rambam tells us that, you know, never use the Torah as a kardoim lach perba. Don't use it as a way to make a parnas. You're not allowed to take any money. Mahu b'chinam, mafata b'chinam. Even if you're teaching Torah, don't take any money for it. It's clear. Shulchan Aruch, Yerodea, Kufnun Vav. It's 100% clear that there's no budging. How did it work out all of a sudden that if you work, you're some kind of a shagetz? Like, Bakara, it was a change of religions. What happened over here? Like, so the pshat, and I'm not criticizing it because they're right. What the Gedolim said at some point is that, look, if we don't all drop everything that we're doing and become an Avrechen Kolo, the Torah is going to be Mishtakech Mi'Yisrael. And just like Rebbe wrote down the Torah, that's an example of a Hirasha. Just like Rebbe wrote down the Torah, we need to drop everything and we need to learn. Mekubal. But it's drastic. It's so drastic to but here's what happens sociologically. All of a sudden that becomes what the Torah says, but that's a Hayrah Shah, which possibly now Gedolim have to get up, or maybe in the next generation, or maybe never, Gedolim have to say, okay, that Hayrah Shah is over, you know, and maybe now we need to, you know, because you could only go like that for a couple generations, and then you run out of money, right? So that Hayrah Shah is over, maybe, and now we have to go back to basics, back to what Moshe Rabbeinu taught at Har Sinai, back to what the Rambam says, back to why every Rambam, we're Badaika, 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 and this Rambam was just like we're getting so like what I'm saying is that there are so many things that. You know, it's not that anybody ever said, this was my point, it's not that anybody ever said, Chas v'Sholom, well, the Torah says that you have to work, but we're smarter than the Torah, we know you don't have to work. What they said is, b'dyavid, we're living in a time now, it's like a Zman Milchama, and therefore it's Hayrah Shah, and it's going to be, there are those that even wanted to say that once Rebbe wrote down the Torah, you're not allowed to write it down anymore. The Rishonim, the many Rishonim wanted to learn that. Who says now you're allowed to write down? He did what he did. So okay, so the Paiskim speak about this, right? So, but it's just a typical example of how. What is that? Like, what is it? What is it when the Torah changes? It's not Mukhlefes. It can only be Mukhlefes from the. You can't go back to before Mount and Turin. There's no Shinui after Mount and Turin. There's only one Mount and Turin. And so if there's one Mount and Turin, you have to really question. Everything that we're doing, like, well, we don't do that anymore. But you have to wonder, why don't we do it anymore? Why don't we do it anymore? You really have to wonder, like, you have to really be a Talmud Chacham to understand, why don't we build a base of Mikdash now and make Karbanos and do what the Torah tells us to do? It's not so posh. You really have to learn the Rambam well to see, like, what exactly is missing that we can't do that. It's not so posh. Rabbi Akiva went in the, you know, 70 years after the Harbin, and he started to bring a Karban. He didn't know from all this, you know. He didn't know that you're not allowed to go to the Har HaBayis. I'm not saying that we should go to the Har. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying what I always do ask myself, and this I can have the audacity to suggest as an exercise, is just to stop and think, like, what does the Torah really want? Because we get so carried away with so many different political things. That, like, you can forget, like, what is the real Ratzon Hashem? Start, you know, go find yourself a teacher or a rabbi that's going to tell you what really does the Torah say. Let's just look at it and be Makar, you know, and just see what does it say, right? Doesn't that make sense to you? Doesn't make sense to you?
I'm asking, what differentiates the Hayrah Shah from all the things that he said that we can't do now?
A Navi, Gadol Hador, or a Sanhedrin. That's what differentiates it.
So...
And the whole Yiddishkeit's going to fall apart.
So was Shabbat Tzvi considered to be somebody who can make a Hayrah Shah?
No. It's, you're missing the point. It's not the Gavr, it's the Chefza. Meaning like Esther did Avreir Lishma, so the guy explains, because she was there to save whole Klal Yisrael. Hatzolos Klal Yisrael Shiny. The Ya'el. Esha Zakeni did Avreir Lishma because Klal Yisrael Shiny. So there are different things that Gedolim could see. It's not about, like, he was big, he's not big. If the fact that he said that means he's not big. But if it's a question about, so is Klal Yisrael in the Sanhedrin, let's say, like in the time of Esther, Sanhedrin was maskim, parshu mimenu mixa Sanhedrin, the Rav Sanhedrin was maskim, that Esther should go marry a guy. Well, you wouldn't want your sister to marry a guy. Like, I should marry a guy. it's weird, right? You imagine somebody tells somebody to go marry Trump.
There were some brothers.
Maybe Ahasuerus wasn't that bad. it's a Pell in history. The Tarets is that okay? You do what you got to do to save the Klal Yisrael. You do what you got to do, like that. And the Gedolim and the Sanhedrin were asking. Nowadays, I would imagine it's very, very difficult. But another Hayrah Shah was like Eislas Eislashem Heferu Tarisecha Heferu Tarisecha. But you can't have. It's like what I'm trying to say here is, you can't have a whole religion based on Hayrah Shah. Like, you can't have the whole Yiddishkeit is all one big Hayrah Shah. Like, you know, I remember the one time I met Reb Henkin Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So I said to him, he was very old and I was very young, and I said to him, like, we're talking about a chasson and this and that. I said, B'shas Adchak, can we do this? He says, the ganz America is a Shasat Chak. That's what he told me. So one big shasat chak, like, but what he was saying to me is like what's going to be, like, you know, what are you going to do? Because we're in America, you know. So he came from Lita, you know. Because we're in America, we're going to go and change the God's Torah over here. The whole America is a shasat chak. That's what he meant to say. Everything is a shasat. What's not a shasat chak? But who's holding up the banner for Torah? So like shasat chak, I would say we have to examine. Like if I would be a gadol, I would say, let's revisit the question, because it's looming on our heads. It's like, you know, it can't go away from the Torah. So take every Eis Lasseis and every Hirashah that was given, and every generation there should be an obligation to re-examine this. Not that becomes our minhag, not pitom. Have to re-examine it. Who are these gedolim that do this? You know. Hashiva Shoftenu Kavari Shaina. But like the idea is to re-examine what it is that we need to do now. What's the right thing? Eretz Yisrael. Like, there's an Eretz Yisrael now. So we brought with it, you know, so many different halachas and hashgafas and how to live and where we should live. And it's not so pashut. I mean, somebody has to sit down and stop, you know, like to stop talking about like cell phones and start talking about like, okay, we have Eretz Yisrael. Should we all move here? Like, that's a good question. Right? Should we? Did anybody join? Like, I'm saying everybody here moved here, but did anybody do so because there's a movement? I mean, because this is what your Rav told you, or you went anyway? Like, the pshat is that you know, like, okay, your neshama told you that. But if you open the Chumash and you go from top to bottom, it's all about Eretz Yisrael, isn't it? I mean, you go through the Shisha Sidra Mishnah, it's all about Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you can't just take Eretz Yisrael out of this picture. What is it? You know, so I'm not criticizing people that don't live here, but I'm just saying it's like re-examine it. There's a new reality on the ground. If there's a new reality on the ground, it needs new gedolim. Every generation needs new gedolim.
It seems like it's a vada. You have a generation of people carrying Mishnah Berurah in their pocket. You have Bate Midrashim with all their kids. That's what, like, where's the Horashah? I'm not saying the world is not falling apart, but where's the Horashah? It's Klal Yisrael. We're learning Torah. We're living Torah.
And therefore?
Where's the Horashah to say that we shouldn't have a responsibility to be full Jews in every respect?
I agree. There was a Horashah not to learn Tanakh. Horashah not to learn Tanakh. You know, so why not learn Tanakh? I fell into that trap too. But what's a Horashah not to learn? Because the Maskilim learned Tanakh. So since the Maskilim learned Tanakh, so we should learn Tanakh. Baruch Hashem, the Maskilim don't learn Gemara. It would be awesome to learn Gemara. Baruch Hashem, the Maskilim don't learn Shulchan Aruch. You know, it would be Irvish de Brewer. You know, otherwise it wouldn't be allowed to put that
thing. They dropped that Horashah. That went through it also.
What?
Not learning Tanakh.
Well, I'm waiting, you know, but...
They only knew Moshe Rabbeinu through the Gemara.
Does anybody go to Yeshiva, you know, the school of the Bible school, and come out knowing Tanakh? It's something you must do. As you must sneak into, you have to sneak it in.
So, I still learn Tanakh, but now everyone in the base matters goes to
Tanakh. I'll tell you a secret. All the Gedolim know Tanakh.
Right.
Yeah. I once had a huge chutzpah. I'm sorry for my parents. It's one of the things I get angry with. But I once spoke to speak to Rav Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So he told me, whatever I asked him, but what the answer was the important part. He says, you know, like, do what everybody else is doing. That's what he told me. That was his answer to me. Like, just do what everybody else is doing. Don't be such a, you know, he gave me Musser, you know, to be such a maverick. So I said to him, Rebbe, if the Rav did what everybody else did, you wouldn't be a Posek Hadar. Is that a chutzpah or what? You didn't learn that in Panovich. You learned it separate. Like, where did it? They don't even teach halacha in Yeshiva. Where did this happen? That he's a bucky at all, tour at all, every single base series of every single Bach, and where every, I mean, he was. I mean, every Bach, every prima donna, he knew Klar. Like, he didn't follow the rules. So why am I the friar?
What
did he answer? He laughed. He made Rav Yashov laugh. But what he did is pashut. Everybody's supposed to learn Taira, Lasuke, Shmaitza, Liba de Hilchasa. Isn't it pashut? Isn't it pashut? Like, why are our brains so twisted? Isn't it pashut that you have to learn Taira and you have to know what to do? And isn't the Gemara say in at least 50 places that Lasuke, Shmaitza, Liba de Hilchasa, Adif? So what are we doing? What are we doing learning three-blocked Gemara for the rest of our lives and then not even knowing the three-blocked Gemara? What are we doing? So it's a Hirasha. Okay, but what are we doing? Like, there's some, it just needs to be re-examined. That's all I'm saying. It just needs to be re-examined. What happened, like, you know, what makara here? Is it a Yiddishkeit where schools, a yeshiva l'mtsuyanim that doesn't take this kid and doesn't take that kid and this one is not, we'll try him out, you know, we'll see if it's a fit. You know, what is? Isn't there a halacha that if somebody comes to you to learn Torah, you must have to teach him Torah? It's one of the halachas I can't stand because of, and I'm a farsim because it means if somebody asks you to teach them Torah, you have to stop everything and teach them Torah. That's the din, for free too. Bechinam afato, bechinam sabakara. Like, is that the whole system? The whole schools is all b'diavad anyways, and the whole, you know, it was all Yeshua ben Gamla and it was all Hirasha. Whole school was Hirasha, but everybody needed to learn. So what are you going to do with the kid who can't learn? So what do? We switch it to you know, you don't fit in. Kids are on the street. We lose a few. It's okay. You know, that language of it's okay to lose a few. You have no choice. Is keneged ater. Again, I'm not the gadol that knows the pitronot, and I'm not. I'm just like the Talmud Hamachkim as Rabbi. But I need to. What I'm trying to say is l'fi the nefesh achayim. That the pshat is like you can't be an iber chacham and stick with, first of all, at least it has to be a hirasha. You can't just it has to be a hirasha. It changed everything. We changed everything in Yiddishkeit. The chasanas are different. Everything is different. Everything is different. The shuls are different than the way they're supposed to be. Who decided that it's okay? I mean, we do it here. I see what it is. Who decided that all the hilchos beis haknesses don't apply? You're not allowed to eat in shul. You're allowed to do everything. You're allowed to sleep in shul. You're allowed to talk lashon hara in shul. Maybe that's also a hirasha. You're allowed to talk lashon hara nowadays. I heard such a thing. But nowadays, it's different. Shirati. But I'm saying like all these things need. The das of a Pesach Hador and a Gadol Hador, and maybe even a Sanhedrin, to reevaluate what we are. I do have this feeling, and I think that when Eliyahu HaNavi comes and Mashiach comes and they're Mavasu the Geula and they teach us Torah Samas, Teiku, Tishbi, Yeshvu Kushus Rabbis, right? It seems to be, whether that is what it means or doesn't, that it seems to be that that's what's going to happen. I don't think that our Shabbos is going to look the same. I don't think that our clothing is going to look the same. I don't think that our chassidus are going to look the same. I don't think that our schools are going to look the same. It's going to be a big boichel l'mishpachosav. It's going to be a big geshrei. Like, you know, what? Like, how do we get into? So you can explain it historically how we came to a certain place. But Baruch Hashem, with all my criticism, I'm not criticizing because Baruch Hashem, we're here. You know, we're trying to do the Ratzon Hashem and we're doing the Torah. I'm just saying that as intelligent people, you know, I'm not criticizing. Thank God, like you say, like we're in a door where you can put the Mishnah Berurah and forget about your pocket and you're on your phone. You have the whole. It's a Pella de Gador. But I am saying that I think those that are concerned and are the leaders of the generation have to stop concentrating on, which filter you need on your phone, which is also very important, but, start talking about, like, what is the avodah of Klal Yisrael? Should we be moving to Eretz Yisrael or should we not? Okay, no, look. Saba Rebbe spoke about it. He was happy to speak about it. he said no. If we don't agree with them, so where's the Gedolim? Rav Kook spoke about it, so we don't hold this out right, we hold Rav Kook, we're somewhere in between. And now we're stuck, we don't know what to do. What are we supposed to do? So those that their Neshama tells them I have a Chivas Haaretz, so why not? I can get a job, like why not? But it's there should be a movement, like Ezra was a movement, Ezra was a movement of coming to Eretz Yisrael. It was a movement. The Gemara, by the way, I just made a siyum on Hurrius, and the Gemara is like full there in Baba Basra, Kuf Mem Hei. The criticism that the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael had on the Amoraim that went to Babel and they stayed there for so many generations. They were there for so many generations. They said, if you would have come when Ezra said to come, we would have a Beis Hamikdash today. That's what they told him. I'm talking about people like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that. If you would have come when you were supposed to come, we would have a Beis Hamikdash. So who's the Baal HaChrayis that says, you know, but it doesn't kind of work for me. You know, it just doesn't make sense that we're not addressing the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, I spoke too much, yeah. But
Avinu
J. We'll start Baharei Chizkiyahu HaMelech, a fascinating thing.